We're now on BBC Radio 4. Nicholas Parsons is back with those familiar words.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome my many listeners in this country and, of course, throughout the world, but also to welcome to the programme four interesting, attractive and diverse personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. And seated on my right, we have that mistress of the written word, the humorous poet and performer, Pam Ayres, and seated beside her, we have that veteran player of the game, the man who contributes so much with his wit and anecdotes, that is Clement Freud. And seated on my left, we have that engaging and lovable comedian, Graham Norton. And seated beside him, we have another equally talented comedian and writer, Marcus Brigstocke. Will you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation or repetition or deviation. And seated beside me is Charlotte Davies, who's going to help me with the score, and she will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Mermaid Theatre in Puddle Dock, which is not far from the City of London, beside Blackfriars Bridge. And we have a very interesting, cosmopolitan, very excitable audience. We're dying for us to get going. So, Graham Norton, begin the show for us with a subject here, how to spot an exhibitionist. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Let's face it. If you can't spot an exhibitionist, they're obviously not very good at their job. Is it possible for there to be a shy exhibitionist? Someone lurking by a tree in a park, undoing their top button? I don't think so. However, in other cities, spotting an exhibitionist can be more difficult. For instance, in Newcastle on a Saturday night. Exhibitionist or slut? You decide. I'm not sure how to do it myself. An exhibitionist is someone who likes exhibiting, but I don't think a lovely painter is an exhibitionist unless they are an exhibitionist. Luckily, I can say exhibitionist a lot.
Clement Freud has challenged you.
Deviation.
Why?
Grammar.
Yes, it was a little...
A painter and they.
Oh, Clement, ooh. Yes. Ooh. It's correct, oh, of course.
Yeah. Suddenly
you
I'm
haven't
13.
Won many friends for that challenge.
I haven't come here for
you
popularity.
Haven't come here. You've come here to win points and win the game. Well, yes, his grammar was a little bit devious, so I'm afraid it's a tough challenge, but Graham, I have to give it to him, a correct challenge, a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject, Clement, is how to spot an exhibitionist. There are 17 seconds starting now.
You get your exhibitionist and put him up against the wall and splatter him with Worcestershire sauce, HP, even tomato ketchup will do. And the extraordinary thing is that the spots remain on the exhibitionist as long as he's still...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Clement Freud. So at the end of the round, he has 2 points and Graham has 1 point. Pam Ayres, will you take the next round? The subject, fame. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
When you are famous, complete strangers make loud remarks about your appearance, like, good God, don't she look old? Tracy Emin achieved fame by displaying her unmade bed, which looked very frousty to me, and as though it could have done with a jolly good boil-up in the washer. Cecil Sharp gained fame by collecting old English songs and ballads with such titles as My Soldier Boy Wears a Blue Cockade, On the Banks of the Claudie, and With Her Box Upon Her Head. Men find that old lovers from long ago rise up and make unflattering comparisons with Chipolatas if they are particularly unlucky. So all in all... No, I couldn't say that. Oh, blow! Blow!
Well, they enjoyed it, Pam. So, Clement, you challenged.
Repetition.
Yes, ow. Yes, you shouldn't say it. And sometimes, Tip, don't draw attention if you... Sometimes they can be generous and let it go, you know.
Oh, really?
I'd like to let it go.
Mm.
Well, it's a bit late now.
Ken, but I've never known you let much go in this game. You are sharp as anybody. Anyway, you've got in there. Another point to you for a correct challenge. 14 seconds are still available. Fame, starting now.
If you have a recognisable face, it's awfully difficult to know because people come up and say, would you be Clement Freud? And I have to say, what is the alternative?
So, there was a hesitation. I saw the whistle go in the mouth. He thought that Charlotte...
I thought she was going to blow it, frankly.
I know, yes. She put it in a second or two early, but... Graham, you and I have 2 points, and Clement's got 3, and Marcus and Pam have yet to score, but it doesn't matter, it's early days. And who's going to speak next? Marcus, let's hear from you now.
Right.
I've got a subject here, illusionists. Can you tell us something about illusionists starting now?
Illusionists. This is not a very easy topic for me because whenever I'm asked to talk about illusionists, I'm inclined to repeat the word git several times. I have no enchantment whatsoever with the world of magic. I'm afraid that I simply never have. What they do is deceitful. They lie. All they have effectively achieved at the end of one of their ghastly, tiresome little tricks is to not tell you something that they were doing. They spend hours in their little bedsits.
Graham challenge.
Repetition of little.
There was a hesitation before the little, yes.
So, and a hesitation as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I noticed.
So, Graham, you have a correct challenge. You've got 27 seconds. You tell us something about illusionists starting now.
I love illusionists, for they have given us the perfect alibi for murder. When I hate someone, I intend to tie them to a big wooden wheel, put balloons around them, and then throw knives at them. And when they die, explain it was a trick gone wrong. Could prove me incorrect. That was close, wasn't it? I nearly said a word I'd already uttered, but I didn't. No. Anywho.
So, Graham Norton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's now taken the lead ahead of Clement Freud, followed by Marcus and Pam. And, Clement, will you please take the next round? The subject is the British transport system. Very provocative subject. We'll talk on it starting now.
The British transport system was honed in the early 19th century by sending prisoners and convicts to Australia. It was pretty successful until the Australians began to send them back. So...
Marcus challenged.
It's a repetition of send.
Yes.
We sent them there and...
Sent them back. Well, listen, good. Marcus.
Is that just an ooh for interrupting a sir?
I think it was a new appreciation and impressed.
Yes.
Marcus, correct challenge, a point to you. 43 seconds available. The British transport system starting now.
In truth, I wasn't aware that the British transport arrangements were still referred to as a system, but it is a very chaotic...
Clement challenge.
Hesitation.
There wasn't an error there. Right, Clement, another point, and the subject back. 33 seconds, the British transport system starting now.
The British transport system is epitomised by the M25. It is a circular road which doesn't have moving transport. And what drivers say to each other is, I wonder what happened before we constructed this motorway that circles its way around the metropolis. What would happen, they say. I've said that
Clem,
before.
I know you did.
Yeah.
And you've just challenged yourself.
Yes.
So I have to ask you, Clement, what is your challenge?
I repeated myself.
You're absolutely right. Well, listen, yes. You did repeat yourself, so you obviously get a point for a correct challenge. And presumably, therefore, you keep the subject, and there are 9 seconds available. But please don't do it too often. 9 seconds, the British transport system, Clement, starting now.
I have a bus pass, which is valid on the 13, the 26th.
Pam, challenge.
I thought it was a hesitation. The 13.
Hardly, my love. No.
Well, I know, I'm getting desperate.
I know. Yes, I can understand that.
Because I haven't got any points. I haven't got any points, and I want to keep me end up, yeah. Nicholas.
In other words, you wanted to challenge him before he challenged himself again.
Well, I thought as he's descended to challenging himself, even a weak challenge was worth a go.
I think Pam's reasoning deserves a bonus point. But as Clement wasn't, strictly speaking, hesitating, he keeps the subject and gets another point for being interrupted. And there are, I can't see this watch. Oh, 5 seconds starting now.
South, east, west and north are pretty good directions for British transport.
Right. Pam, will you take the next subject? The subject is personal shoppers. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
A personal shopper is a person who tells other people what clothes they ought to be wearing. This may be useful if you have a thick neck, bat wing arms, jodhpur thighs, stumpy legs and enormous feet. But being a woman with a strong, confident sense of her own style, I have never yet needed to act...
Graham, you challenged.
There was a sort of hesitation.
Yes, A correct challenge. And 37 seconds are still available. Graham, another point to you. And personal shoppers, starting now.
Personal shoppers are people who tell you just because you can fit into something, it looks good on you. And then as you leave the shop, go ha-hee-ho. Because you've paid full price for something that makes you look like a black pudding uncooked. It isn't kind. It's a nasty job. They are evil people and should be killed. I think that personal shoppers, dear God, will no one interrupt me.
Pam has interrupted you. Pam, what was your challenge?
I just thought I would.
It was a plea for help.
He said, would nobody interrupt him? So I thought perhaps he hesitated.
Yes, I did.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You're very chivalrous.
He says he hesitated, so Pam, he is here from his own admission. You take over the subject. 10 seconds to go. Personal shoppers, starting now.
The tremendous advantage of personal shoppers is that they introduce you to a range of rates which you otherwise would probably...
Marcus, challenge.
Yeah, it's a challenge based on not knowing what a raiment is.
It's similar.
So I'm not confidently saying that Pam got something wrong. I'm just saying I don't know that word.
Well, as far as I'm aware, it's from the Bible. He rent his raiments.
So if you'd read your Bible, you would have known what you were talking about.
Right.
Did you keep his receipt? Did he bring back his rent raiment? His raiment was quite shoddy.
Right, Marcus, haven't played the game and...
Is it a real word?
Yes, it is.
Is it? Oh, good.
It's another word for clothing.
It's another word for garment.
Apparel. Apparel's another good one.
Do you know apparel?
I do, yes. Apparel, yes. Thank you, yes.
Yes. Yes. Try and stick to
top. Words. Top is another word for clothes.
Yes.
Yes. Try and stick to
words. It's good to know several words for the same thing in this game, isn't it?
Yes, right. And the raiment that you're wearing at the moment is particularly fetching. You're
Thank
a
you
man
very much.
Who's into corduroy, aren't you?
I do love a bit of corduroy.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll give him a bonus point because he hasn't played the game very much before.
Oh, wow.
Does anyone know another word for patronising? Condescending's not the same.
We enjoyed hearing from you so
Bless
much.
Bless you, sir.
Your interruption was so enjoyable. I was just carried away with the fun we had.
Oh,
and
no.
So I thought you'd give you a bonus point for that. Pam gets a point because she has an incorrect challenge. Keeps the subject. 3 seconds available. Personal shoppers are starting now.
Personal shoppers make no charge for their...
Speaking as a whistleblower, gain that extra point. And the situation, if you're interested, is Clement Freud is just in the lead, one ahead of Graham, and he's 2 ahead of Pam, and Pam's 2 ahead of Marcus. That's the situation as Marcus takes the next round. Marcus, the subject here we have is toddlers. Tell us something about toddlers in this game starting now.
I've got toddlers and the experience is deeply unpleasant. They can walk while they're toddlers, but only in the direction that their massive head takes them. They haven't really developed a sense of balance at that stage or any desire to sleep beyond about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when they toddle into your room and wake you up with a great big smile saying, "Hello, Daddy," and you have to pretend to be pleased to see them. You then spend the rest of the day toddling yourself because you're so exhausted you can't really walk properly. They are also positioned...
Graham challenge.
Was there a repetition of walk?
Yes, because they walk
the
in
the audience
your
has
room.
Spoken. Yes, they cry. We're playing as a team. Well done, audience.
Graham. He said, yes, they walk into your room.
That's
and
true.
They walk.
Yes, they
that's
do.
Right. So, Graham, you had a correct challenge. You listened well. 26 seconds starting, toddlers starting now.
All I know of toddlers is that they're very needy. They want things constantly. And what do you get back? Nothing at all. Even when they get older, they present bits of old wool and say it's a gift and want something shiny in a box in return. It's not right. That's why there are no toddlers in my house, but a very large gay furry baby I call a dog.
Speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point and he's increased his lead at the end of the round. Graham, did you say you had a gay dog?
No. It's just my gay furry baby. It's a dog.
Oh, I see. Yes. I just wonder what the difference between a gay dog and a straight dog was. The
very little.
And Graham, it's also your turn to begin. And the subject now is American slang. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
American slang is bad, by which I mean good. That's an example of American slang. Things that are cool can be hot. If it's hip, it's not a word meaning a replacement. No. It indicates something.
Marcus Jones.
Yes, it was a sort of hesitation involving a grinding down to just clucking noises yes. eventually.
You made your point, Marcus.
Yes.
Hesitation.
No.
A correct challenge to you. You take over the subject. Marcus, I've got him there. 45 seconds, American slang, starting now.
Of course, linguistically, there are lots of differences between British people and the Americans. They have lots of words that mean almost nothing to us.
Clement challenge.
Repetition of lots.
Lots.
You
did repeat the word
there
lots.
But there are quite a few people in both countries, so it's hard to know. What to do about it.
But you can't say the word twice in this round.
Yeah. No, I'm going to write that down, actually.
Clement, another point to you for a correct challenge. 37 seconds. American slang starting now.
I don't know anything about American slang.
And challenge. Pam, you challenge first.
I did think it was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation.
I did. I've got very few marks, so I'm fighting for my life here, Clement. I'm sorry about that.
You're doing very well. You're equal with Marcus.
Oh, goody. Well,
and you're only... And you're only three behind Clement Freud. It's not bad.
Yes.
And he's played it quite a lot of times.
Yes, right. That's true. Yes, I am something of a virgin.
Mm. Are you? I don't think you should bring your private life into this show. Pam, there are 33 seconds. Tell us something about American slang starting now.
During the Second World War, in the village of Stamford-in-the-Vale in North Berkshire, a huge number...
Marcus challenge.
Yes, a hesitation.
It was a hesitation, Marcus. You have the subject. You have 28 seconds. American slang starting now.
Democracy is not a word that means a great deal in America, whilst, of course, over here, we use it and understand basically what it means.
Graham challenge.
I would say deviation, because that isn't slang in either country.
No, you haven't introduced the slang into this at all.
Yeah, Marcus, why? Where's the slang? We've only got a minute here. Come on, keep it moving. Yeah.
No, I think it's deviation. You shouldn't have established early enough you were talking about American slang.
Yeah, it was really bad.
No, you're right.
Bad meaning good.
Yeah.
Talking about
wicked.
So, Graham, another correct challenge, another point, and American slang is back with you starting now.
Yo is a way of saying hello. Recently, I met P. Diddy, or Puff Daddy, or some man in glasses with a lot of diamonds on.
Lemon challenge.
Three oars.
You're not wrong.
I know, tough challenge, but correct.
Yes.
Ooh. You may go, ooh, but you try rowing a boat with that number. Just round in circles.
American slangs, back to you, Clement, and 11 seconds starting now.
In East Anglia, I know several practitioners of American slang, both in Essex, Suffolk, Norfolk, and Lincolnshire, and especially such people...
Marcus Challenge.
Yeah, deviation, you said both and then listed more than two things.
Clement, you've had people on grammar before now, in fact, in this show.
I'm a sly fox. I pretend to be thick, but I'm not.
I am it.
So the glasses are not just there for effect. Both, yes, two and a number. And you've got in with 1 second to go on American slang starting now.
American slang.
So Marcus Bigstock was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's moved forward. He's just ahead of Pam Ayres. He's one behind Clement Freud, and Graham Norton's still in the lead. And Pam, we're back with you to start. The subject now is summer holidays. 60 seconds starting now.
I have had many summer holidays, all chosen.
Clement Challenge.
Repetition.
It's a repetitious thought, Clement. But she was not repeating any words or anything like that. It's a lovely idea. So Anne gets another point for that. No, it's all right. You've still got it, my darling.
Have I?
Yes, you have.
I'm afraid I got lost there. What did I say? 2 minutes? Did I say? Oh, you're just being cantankerous.
Oh, look at them flirting.
Yes, an incongruous
you're
couple.
Jealous,
right,
you're jealous.
There we are.
You're only jealous because there's no action down your end.
And so, hasn't been for a long time.
I'm doing my best.
I think we should move on.
I'll be your big gay dog if you like.
A point to Pam, because it wasn't a correct challenge, and she still has summer holidays, and 57 seconds starting now.
Everything went wrong. Delayed flights, so-called villas situated beside thundering motorways, along which a river of hateful, hornet-like little motorbikes stormed morning, noon and night. Filthy swimming pools without a filtration plant and blocked drains.
Marcus Challenge.
I don't know whether it's deviation, but you can't realistically expect an entire filtration plant to be attached to a swimming pool.
Marcus, explain. I mean,
it was a big swimming pool.
Was it?
It was an Olympic-sized swimming pool.
Was it a village beside a sewage plant?
Why complain about the villa?
No, I don't accept that. I think plant is a filtration plant. I've heard it many times, and I defend my right to say it.
And even if it wasn't, that was what you referred to it as, wasn't it? That's what you called it while you were over there on that holiday. Yes.
Yes, Nicholas.
And also, Pam was saying there wasn't a filtration plant.
Absolutely. So.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Pam, it's an incorrect challenge. You keep
the
subject.
Thank you.
Summer holidays, 36 seconds, starting now.
Had it not been for the valiant efforts of my brother-in-law on his hands and knees with a metal coat hanger, we would have had no sanitation whatsoever. I am never doing that again. My dream holiday would be to go horse riding on a pleasant old nag that liked me, did not bite me with his yellow teeth, or kick my shins to matchwood with his iron-shod feet. Together we would plod through fragrant woodlands, alive with birdsong and babbling water. I've run out of steam.
So Pamela, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. And, well, give me the score, because I've just heard that we are going into the final round.
Oh!
I thought you might have groaned a bit more than that. The, so let me give you the score as we do that, because it's very close. Graham Norton is still just in the lead. Clement Foyd follows only 3 or 4 points behind, but then equal together still, 1 point behind Clement, are Pam Ayres and Marcus Brigstocke.
Oh,
so
goody.
It's still quite a close contest if
Gosh,
you're interested
tense.
In the work. And Marcus, your turn to begin the
yes.
subject. Oh, topical for us at this particular moment, hose pipes. Tell us something about hose pipes in this game starting now.
There was an announcement about these just recently that had the last few remaining teddy boys who live in my area extremely worried. Of course, they then realised it wasn't about drain pipes, but hose pipes. So they cheered up immediately. There's a ban on the use of hose pipes at the moment because the water companies basically can't be bothered to mend any of their underground pipes. They're too busy creaming off all of the money and giving it to their lovely shareholders who refuse to invest in the people who would be mending these pipes and therefore making double bubble at both ends of the pipe itself, effectively. So I shan't be using my hose pipe this summer at all on account of I do not...
Graham Challenge.
Repetition of pipe.
Yes, you're quite right, because the subject on the card is hose pipe.
So, in fact, a repetition of a single pipe would make pipes, wouldn't it? Is that a stretch?
Yeah, a very shrewd observation, but it doesn't work in just a minute.
All right. Stream on!
No. So, Graham, yes, we have to grant you that as a correct challenge and say that you have hose pipes to talk about, I should say. 21 seconds starting now.
Hose pipes are banned, but I don't quite understand why that prevents water getting to your garden. You could train a small animal, perhaps, to take a mouthful of that substance, H2O, and trot into the yard and then spit it on a plant. Oh, and how much more fun that would be.
Graham Norton, speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point, and with that strange idea of his dog watering his garden from the mouth.
Well, you made it sound dirty and wrong now, Nicholas.
Why don't you just say use a watering can? Which you're allowed to use, a watering can. That's permitted. Anyway, give me the final score. Pam Ayres and Marcus Brigstocke equal together, but only just in third place, because they're equal. And 1 point behind Clement Foyd, who did extraordinarily well, as usual. But a few points out in the lead was Graham Norton. So we say, Graham, you're the winner this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Graham Norton, Marcus Brigstocke, Pam Ayres and Clement Foyd. I think Charlotte Davis, who's helped me with the score and blown her whistle with, well, she blew it with some aplomb. And we thank our producer, Claire Jones. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this delightful game. We're very grateful to this lovely audience here at the Mermaid Theatre down on Puddle Dock, who've cheered us on our way. Thank you from our audience. Thank you from me, Nicholas Parsons, and from our panel. Tune in, listeners, the next time we play Just a Minute.
And there are more Just a Minute frolics when Nicholas Parsons at the same time next week is joined by Paul Merton, Sue Perkins, Charles Collingwood and Tony Hawkes.